Well, the scriptures today cover a wide gamut of aspects of God's plan for us, and something that's wonderful. In God's plan, He also takes into account our human nature. And because He takes into account our human nature, He also has that mercy that's there for us as well. So God's plan and God's mercy, God's plan and God's mercy. When we look at life around us and we see that things aren't going quite the way we hope or had hoped they might, when we have a physical ailment or we're in need of some treatment, and it seems so radical and it seems so life-threatening and it seems so real, how can God, who loves me, He's who we know, scriptures say God loves us, how can He have allowed this to happen to me? That Genesis part of 45, speaking of Joseph, and when we think about how difficult Joseph's life had to have been. This is somebody who God is going to work a promise through. And yet, what happens to Joseph? A dream starts it. And a dream sends him into the problems. And then a dream gets him out of those problems. See, he has a dream. He's one of the last of these children of Jacob. And he has this dream. And in this dream, his brothers are bowing down to him. Well, not the best of dreams to tell your older brothers about. Well, he goes and he tells his older brothers about this dream. And it so incenses them, so angers them, that what do? They're going to kill him. And they throw him down in a hole as they're debating and wondering what it is that they're going to ultimately do to him. And they decide not to kill him. They're going to sell him into captivity. They send him off into captivity. That was the human plan. But God's plan in that is when he's sold into slavery, he is bought by Potiphar. Potiphar has a lot of money and has a nice household. And Potiphar takes him in because God is blessing Potiphar because of Joseph. Joseph is a good administrator, a good manager. It's perfect from then on, right? No. Potiphar's wife likes Joseph too. Well, she has designs on him. But Joseph is true and faithful and knows that if he were to do what Potiphar's wife wants him to do, that he would dishonor not only himself, he would dishonor Potiphar, and he would dishonor God. So he doesn't do it. So he's falsely accused and sent where? To prison. He's sent to jail. And when he gets to jail, God still blesses him. You know, here he is. You know, it's from feast to famine. It's from frying pan into the fire. Well, he's sent to prison. But the administrator in charge of the prison sees how good an administrator is. And even the prison is blessed because God's blessing Joseph. And every place that Joseph is, they're blessed. Doesn't end there. Dreams get him out of prison. He's able to interpret the dreams of two of Pharaoh's workers. And they get taken up to Pharaoh. They were also told to remember Joseph when they got back into Pharaoh, but they forgot him until Pharaoh has a dream that nobody else in the land can explain. And the guy remembers, oh, There's a guy in prison who's great at reading dreams. So he brings him to Pharaoh. Joseph, through the power of God, is able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh's dream was of 7 years of fatted calf and 7 years of famine. And in doing that, Pharaoh places Joseph in power in Egypt, the greatest kingdom on the earth at that time. And then the famine is on them. And the famine is so great that even Joseph's brothers come down to get what? To get food. And Joseph recognizes his brothers, but his brothers don't recognize him. And that's where we pick up in chapter 45. And when we look at how God's plan is played out and how he has showed mercy, not only to Joseph, but to his brothers. In chapter 45, verse 4, I am your brother Joseph, when he sends everybody up and he tells them, I'm your brother. Imagine how scared and worried they had to be. They know what they had done to him. Now the tables are turned. I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. I mean, he's saying, don't be angry with yourselves. Because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God's plan trumps any plan that we have. For the famine has been in this land 2 years, and there are 5 more years. God sent me before you, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. He had to go that path, as difficult as it was, as bad as it seemed to him while he was in it. I can't imagine that when he was in Potiphar's house and the wife is just accused him and he's going off to jail, or when he was in that pit that his brothers had thrown him into and he really thought they were going to kill him. You think he thought, oh, God's going to work this out, I'm okay? He was probably at that point in time praying to God to get him out of those circumstances. But God delivered him through those circumstances. He didn't just pluck him out and take him out of them, but he blessed him in these. And now, second only to Pharaoh in Egypt, he's in control of all of the wealth, power, and food of Egypt when the rest of the known world is suffering and wanting food. And then his brothers come. And what does he do? Does he say, boy, payback? You know, what do they say about payback? Boy, payback is a, okay. But he doesn't. Because in all of this, Joseph has known that God is working in his life and God is leading him, because God has a plan. And he shows the mercy that God has shown him, he shows to his brothers. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. He's telling his family and his father, you know what? You guys meant this for ill. You meant this for ill. The plan of his brothers, the plan of man, was to sell him into captivity and do away with him, get rid of him, put him out of this dream that Joseph had had where his brothers were going to bow down to him and serve him. Well, we fixed him. No, you didn't. God has a plan. And that plan, as difficult as it is to follow, as difficult as it is to understand, it is one that includes mercy. Why does it include mercy? Because he knows us. He knows our human nature. He knows that we're going to sin. He knows that we're going to mess up. He knows that we have pride. He knows that we have lust. He knows that we think we know what's best for me. Do I? Well, if history is any indicator, probably not. The choices I make are not always the right ones if I'm thinking about me alone. The beauty is God loves us. Not just because John 3:16 says that. But God loves us, and we can see that in the Old Testament as it's borne out in Genesis. We can see that as it's borne out in how Christ's life with his disciples and those he encounters. We see that played out in how Paul describes to the Romans that this plan that he had through Abraham and these Jews, it didn't exclude the rest of creation. God's perfect plan was for us to all be together. And that's his call. But he understands us, and that's why in addition to his plan, he takes into account our human nature and has his mercy there for us. God's love for us. God's grace shows his mercy. And all of that shows that God has a perfect plan for us. It's God's plan. And hallelujah, it includes mercy. Because were it not for mercy, were it not for God's mercy, imagine this as it plays out in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 45. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. This is Joseph. He's told him what's going on. He's told him to come down. He's told him, you meant it for ill, but God had a better plan. And he is so overwhelmed with this that he weeps on his brother Benjamin's neck. And when his other brothers see this, then, in 15, and he kissed all of his brothers and wept upon them, and after that, his brothers talked with him. Mercy? Yeah. A plan? Absolutely. But it includes his mercy, his love, and his grace. That's Old Testament. New Testament. Paul is speaking to the Romans, and he's saying in verse 29 of Romans 11, for all the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. You get that? Irrevocable. There's no turning back on that. You can't revoke God's love. You can't revoke God's call. We can ignore it. We can run in the other direction. We can figure that our plan is better for us than his. We can do all those things. But that doesn't eliminate or revoke God's plan for you. God's plan for me. God's plan for them. God's plan for you. It's irrevocable. We don't get to choose it. We can't revoke it. God has a plan for each and every one of you. No matter where you are in your life today, no matter what you've done, no matter what anybody else has done to you, God has a plan for you, and it includes mercy and grace and love. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. Verse 30, verse 31. So they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience. Did you get that? He's imprisoned all in disobedience. We have all sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. But it's God's plan so that he can show us mercy. So that we might have life and have life abundantly. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. Shalom.